from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
We're in Las Vegas at Stadium Swim here at the Ultimate Contest Weekend at Circa Resort and Casino. Were you there last night when we were at Bar Canada over at The D?
The Bar Canada Show.
The Bar Canada Show.
Brian and I were doing that the entire time.
That and Mantis. Mantis.
Like Master of Puppets.
Did you guys get the Mantis shirts?
Are they out?
I was looking for shirts.
One. Mantis. Mantis.
Were you doing that last night?
Yes,
we were. Had I already left for Walgreens?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, already left for your...
I was planning.
Ray and I went after dinner to Mantis.
Were you at Bar Canada when the woman...
The All Canada Show.
...came up and she's like, did you guys win the contest?
Mantis! Mantis! No, did we sign up?
Or was like, no. And then she's like, oh, too bad.
Mantis! Mantis!
Ray and I also chanted Mantis after the first song, and we're pretty sure that the Mantis said what's up.
It did.
Ooh, that's good. Call me that from now on. Mantis.
Mantis. Mantis. Mantis.
Mantis. Mantis.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, Bernstein and Holmes, on a Monday in Chicago. Okay, Mantis was cool. It was better than I thought. I thought it was going to be kind of lame. And
why would it be lame? It's a mantis that breathes fire to the beat of music.
But there's a person inside the repurposed dump truck that's carrying Mantis, where there's like a DJ booth in the cab of the truck.
And that was the new info we learned this year, because last year we didn't see anybody, but this time we saw a guy get in there.
Well, we don't know if it was a guy. I don't know who it was.
I saw a guy.
Oh, you did?
I saw a guy get in there.
Okay, I tried to track down the person after. Like, I ran up because I saw the door open, but they've got that person is unknown and sneaks away.
We got to get those shirts. Like, I regretted not buying those shirts.
Oh, a Mantis shirt is definitely necessary.
Yeah, because it's really exciting.
I just thought it was a...
But basically, by that time, I walked over there during the day. And by the time I got over there, I was like, I'm ready to pass out. I should just go get some water and then walk back to Circa. So that's what I did.
Well, you don't have to get water. There's a liquor store right there, and you can get beers, and you can sit.
I don't think that would have been a good choice.
You can sit in the stands and watch Mantis and have your IPAs.
Beer has water in it.
Yeah, it's mostly water.
Not enough.
So I think you guys undersold it. It really was fun.
I don't think undersold it. Yeah, I think this is another example of you not listening to us.
It was a nice groove.
That's what I think it is.
You set your preconceived notion about Mantis, and boy, were you wrong.
We've been telling you that Mantis is awesome. And now you're like, Mantis is awesome. Did you guys know Mantis was awesome? Yes, Dan.
Well, we did.
We told you that Mantis was awesome.
I thought you were overplaying the awesomeness as part of a bit.
No.
Okay.
No, not a bit. This is true Mantis fandom.
All right.
The Las Vegas Mantis is amazing.
I just love it.
Yeah, if you're going to Vegas, just walk down the end of the Fremont experience.
Just keep walking Fremont until things start to get weird.
Like another block, and then you're going to run into the Mantis.
And then when things get a little weirder, then you're going to see it. And I keep imagining...
Right across the street from Disco...
And I keep imagining the pitch meeting of how Mantis got made. It's like, hey, no, I've got this idea. How did, with a number of things and the permitting and everything else, then the repurposing of a dump truck and the building of the welded man, like, okay, it's going to shoot fire. The fire's going to be crazy hot. So it's, okay, and what does it cost? Well, no, no, just hear me out. Let me, like, he's doing the, you know, the whole PowerPoint deck saying, here's how we're going to spend taxpayer dollars to create Mantis.
Well, it's one of those container parks. Like, that's what I think is kind of like, that's what I didn't realize. Like, going at night, I never realized that it was a whole, like, village that's inside there.
Made up of repurposed shipping containers.
Yeah. And then in the daytime, like, this is actually really, like, Mantis is obviously the attraction, but this whole thing is really cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. And then we get back, and I thought we would have a Cubs sweep to celebrate. Alas, we do not.
Nope.
And now I do think that tomorrow's Hard Knocks has an opportunity, to be football-y enough for my tastes. It probably won't be. We went back to the ice cream museum. So
nothing wrong with the ice cream museum.
No one in Chicago has ever heard of it.
It's fine.
The point was to show DJ Moore's lovely family. Didn't matter where they went.
Then take them to an actual Chicago museum.
I had a cousin actually go to the ice cream museum 2 weeks before that episode. And I was like, whoa, no kidding. Like, DJ Moore and his family are doing all the things my cousin sent videos of. Like, oh, look at here, I'm doing this. And in the little whatever that is, like the little pink ball section that looks like a big ball pit.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Because my cousin did it. Probably she's probably cool. Too old to be doing that, but she did. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
She's 49 and she enjoyed it.
The thing is that what this with them not playing the starters on Thursday, it actually offers them more time to do non-football stories.
Yeah, but these late trades. These cut down.
But
time
remember what
trades.
They told us is like their job is not really to do the newsy stuff. It's
I was trying to be hopeful.
But don't worry about that. I'm more worried about the news. Yeah. I'm more worried about the fact that the roster that was going to be hard to make is now all of a sudden making trades for pass rushers.
They didn't say it was going to be hard to make because they were going to keep adding guys who were cast offs from other teams. Like that's these things can't all be true. You can't say, well, we like everybody. We have some really difficult decisions to make among the guys who are going to be in our defensive line rotation. And then add two new guys. Like, oh, can't play this guy. Oh, I can't play that guy. Look around. You could run down the hall to your pro personnel department. You're like, who's out there?
Who's out there who might be able to help us? And I do think that the moves that they have made have been decent moves. I feel like they've actually upgraded their defensive line, but the problem is that what that means is either your defensive line is too hurt or too bad, and you needed to figure out a way to fix that. That's what's scary about this. And that's why when we were talking about the back five of the Bears out there in the desert, the back five is cool. I think that those guys, they have a chance to be one of the best units in football. But it doesn't look great if the guys up front can't get a pass rush. It limits the level of great that they can be as a defensive backfield if guys are getting 4 and 5 seconds to throw the ball. Now, I know someone's already like got their thumbs burned. Like, well, wait, wasn't Jalen Johnson all pro? Yes, he was. He was great. And if you look at the rating of passes thrown towards Jalen Johnson, it's fantastic. But a bad defensive line usually doesn't mean that your team is going to be a good squad.
Yeah, now do the offensive line.
Oh, that part? The most important part, the one that we've been talking about like all offseason long, where again, either your team, your unit is too hurt, disinterested, or not good enough. That's where it stands with the Bears' offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll see if they got it right with the decisions that they made at center/guard. But if you were looking at Ryan Poles, the mosaic, and you were going to go, okay, look at all this good. Look at this trade with Carolina that set the Bears up for success for a very long time. And then you go, yeah, but isn't he supposed to be an offensive line guru? The offensive line isn't.
As is his assistant general manager.
Right. And then you flip it over and go, wait, doesn't the head coach, who says in the interview that you'll hear in a little bit, how important three technique is? And they haven't really found one. And they haven't really given him one. These are legitimate reasons to be concerned.
The 847 jokes, this proves the roster is hard to make. Their own guys couldn't make the team.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, they say, hey, we're down to these guys now. Oh, let's go get different guys.
Let's go get different guys because we're hurt and we're probably bad. Let's go get some people that have some specialty to them.
It's why at the end of the interview with Eberflus, I asked the question as straightforwardly as I did. What should we expect from this team? How good are you? And he nodded to the fact that it was he knew how he was going to sound. They don't want to put a number, whether it's a number or even adjectives. They don't really want to answer that question.
I think that they expect to be better because the quarterback position is supposedly better.
Fair.
So
yeah, they should be better. They added a lot of pieces. They should be better.
You brought in Keenan Allen. And a lot of people are wondering, is he slow playing the preseason like a 13-year veteran probably would?
What did Jim Miller say about John L. Williams?
That,
right?
He was ready to go. He was ready to go. Didn't matter what happened. He was ready to go when the season began.
And I also think of Ken Griffey Jr. asleep in the White Sox dugout. And, hey, man, they want you to pinch hit. Are you warm? And he points to the tattoo of his Ken Griffey Jr. logo.
No, he pointed to his shoes.
Oh, it was the shoe. It's like, that guy's always warm.
That guy's ready.
Yeah.
He's ready. He knows what he needs to do.
Is there a Keenan Allen equivalent of that where it's like, all right.
Yeah, I imagine.
Now it's real.
I imagine that he feels like he'll be ready and DJ Moore clearly be ready. I think there's so much good about this offense where it stands. You don't want it to be mitigated by the fact that your offensive line is incomplete.
Although if Caleb Williams is that guy, it's all okay. And the offensive line could just be fine. Or average, or slightly below average.
Yeah, but usually that's something that manifests itself a little bit later on. There's still the rookie stuff that that people need to be prepared for. Like, I'll say it again. And I know I sound like a broken record. A record is a piece of wax. Here's the thing. Look around the preseason. Everyone is excited about their rookie quarterback. Everyone. Folks in New Orleans want Spencer Rattler to start over a car. You've got the Drake May stuff going on. People were over the moon about J.J. McCarthy until he got hurt. Washington has already named Jaden Daniels the starter. Everyone's excited about their rookie quarterback.
And some of these rookie quarterbacks will be out of football in 5 years.
Right. So the what you have to ask yourself, one, is Caleb better than the rest of these guys? And from college resume, yes. He got one of the guys that I talked about transferred because of him. He won the Heisman. But I mean, people are talking about Bo Nix. You know, like, all I'm saying is just be careful.
Who told us that Sean Payton is going to do his stuff and plant his flag with Bo Nix no matter what happens?
No matter what.
Right? He's going to make fetch happen.
He's definitely trying to make fetch happen.
All right, when we come back, you can hear the conversation that Lawrence and Layla and I had with Bears head coach Matt Eberflus on the screen.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Score.
Bernstein and Holmes.
Mike C. Nelson. Now we know his name is Keith from the Progressive Becoming Your Parents commercials.
The White Sox. I can't believe they did more due diligence on hiring a play-by-play guy than a GM.
Middays 10 a.m. till 2.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable to root for that team.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You're one of us.
You're one of us, Mike.
Our culture is awesome.
Now, it wasn't then. It's certainly better now, and we'll see how that translates to success or failure this year for the Bears. So Matt Eberflus, the head coach, was kind enough to join us on Friday when we were at Stadium Swim in Las Vegas. You will hear his voice along with those of Lawrence Holmes, Layla Rahimi, and me, because we asked him, first off, why did they want to make that trade for Daryl Taylor?
Before I talk about that, Douglas Coleman, that young man that was injured yesterday, was released from the hospital, and he's walking around. I did talk to him. He's in good spirits. He flew back to Chicago. I think he's landing at about this time. So just want to update everybody with that, and then I'll go on to your question about Daryl Taylor. It's exciting for us to get him. He's got sack production. He's a really good pass rusher. He fits our scheme in terms of his effort, his style, his disposition. And we're excited to have him. I did talk to him a little bit ago. And again, it's pending physical and all those things. So he's on his way here to get that done today.
How many roster decisions are already made? Do you guys pretty much have an idea of what the team is going to look like now?
No, I think what you do is, the best way to do it is let it play out. And you have an open mind when you come into training camp, and we have those breaks that you have in the action. And you do an evaluation of the skill, of the talent you have, and where guys are competing, and you let it play out all the way through. And that's exactly what we do every year, and it's going to be a big meeting that we have here shortly. But, again, we have those conversations ongoing throughout training camp.
But that meeting is today?
Yeah, it'll be. I have a coordinator's meeting here at 1, and I got the personnel meeting will be here about 2 o'clock.
Coach, that's great. How much did this last game factor in? We saw a lot of people getting different reps in different parts of the game. I know there are some very crowded position rooms when it comes to who might make the roster and who might not.
Yeah, no question. You know, a lot of guys put their best foot forward yesterday, had some really good performances. You know, and there's not a lot of guys out there, so I really want to commend those guys for the effort they put out there. They're playing a lot of snaps in terms of offense and defense, but also on special teams. And man, they have really got to gut it out there. And I just want to thank those guys for their efforts.
Are you pleased with how you have been portrayed so far on Hard Knocks? And how much of an effort have you put into shaping that portrayal?
I would just say that when we heard we're going to get Hard Knocks, I had a meeting with the players, and I said, guys, just be authentic, be yourself. I said, that's going to be good enough. You guys are great young men. We have a great staff here, great support staff, coaches. I said, just be yourself, be authentic. And, you know, the show does a wonderful job of staying in the background. You barely notice that they're here, and it's been good.
Matt, we had a discussion earlier about the cover two defense, and my time as a Bears reporter was covering Lovie Smith and what he did, how he improved and evolved the Tampa 2 into the Lovie 2, and what he was doing with Brian Urlacher at the middle linebacker position. I'd love to know, as someone that has played around with this defense for a long time, how have you seen it evolve, and how have you seen maybe positions of strength in that defense change from what it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, to where it is now?
Yeah, I'll start with the latter. I do believe that the positions are pretty much sustained in terms of strength. You know, your defensive line has always got to be a strength. You want, you know, at least a couple good pass rushers there that affect the game, one at end, one at tackle, preferably. You know, the Will linebacker has always been a big part. The Mike linebacker has always been a big part of this defense. The nickel has been an explosive player in this defense. So those are always going to be the hot spots, you know, in terms of positions. And that hasn't changed over time in our system. But what has changed, to answer your first question, is a lot of the coverage contours, the multiplicity of coverage, the multiplicity of pressure. And we have changed and adjusted that over the years, really just to fit, you know, the game and the way the game's evolving every single year. And you got to do that every single year. You got to change and adjust a little bit. But our core beliefs never change. You know, we're going to play fast. We're going to play physical. And we're gonna run and hit. And that's what we've been able to do here during the preseason and the last part of last year.
Let me follow up specifically about the corner position now. Because like Lawrence is saying, you know, back when we were talking to, whether it's Rod Marinelli, even back to Monty Kiffin, people would use the term cover two corner almost in a derogatory sense. Well, you know, you can find a cover two corner. Guy's on a little bit on the bigger side, safety type body. He drops to a landmark. He reads the flat. He comes up. He secures the tackle, whatever. But now you've got corners who have played as actual mirror corner, run with guys, cover guys who are working within your system. Is that a nod to how good wide receivers have gotten now that we can't look at just the corner as a fungible spot like it used to be?
Yeah, I would the skill sets of your corners nowadays have to be multiple. You can't just line up there in the flat and reroute a receiver and then play zone the entire time. That was your comment about cover two corner. You can't do that anymore. So our guys play multiple coverages. They have multiple skill sets to be able to play man, play match, play zone, you know, different types of zone, and be able to move around a little bit, pressure at times. So our guys have done a really good job, and really our scouting staff has done a really good job of acquiring those guys and, you know, keeping those guys. And I'm referring to Jalen, Tyreek, you know, Kyler Gordon, you know, all the guys that we have, Smitty, you know, that we have on our roster now. So we're excited about our corners. And again, we got to get better. We got a lot of work to do to the first game.
Coach, one of the things that we've enjoyed seeing on Hard Knocks has been just a look into more of what you do day to day and some of the meetings you've had, whether it's film analysis or the conversations you have with Caleb Williams, but also the relationship you have with Nick Saban. That was so great to see in the first episode. What can you tell us about your relationship with him and how much of an influence he's been on you?
Yeah, Coach Saban's been great. You know, he had a big impact on my life when I was a 20-year-old guy back in Toledo when he came over there and took that program over. He was only there 1 year, and we won the championship that year. And it was very impactful how he came in and really just gave clear expectations of what he expected. And then he laid the standards down of how we want to play the game in terms of the players and the effort and the intensity that we wanted to display on a daily basis. And I took a lot from that. And I've had the opportunity to stay with him, connected to him over the years, if it was over a pro day or phone calls or whatever that might be. And he's been a great mentor to me and been a great advisor for me over the years. And certainly him coming here to Hallisaw for those 2.5-3 hours was very impactful for me professionally. And just it was really just good to see him. I invited him in when I heard him, he retired. And he did come in, and it was fortunate that he had an engagement here and was able to do that.
I appreciated how much he talked to you as, like, you were still his player, too. You know, he has a way of not only making you feel like you're the only person in the room, I feel like he made you feel like you're the only person who's ever been in that room before. What can you say about just how powerful he is in a one-on-one situation like that?
Yeah, he's a great communicator. He does a wonderful job with getting his message across. And, you know, he can do it with stories, analogies, and different things like that. But he's done a really good job with that. But he's very impactful. You know, you don't get to the spot where he is the best coach in college football for no reason. And he certainly is that.
Matt, throughout this process with Caleb Williams, you guys have done your homework. He's been with you guys. You've known that you were going to get him. But now that you've been in these morning meetings with him, that you're actually watching tape with him after practices, What are the things that you take away from the experience of having that guy as your quarterback?
Yeah, like I've said in the past, and this is true, that he's all in on learning every single day, being present in the meetings and wanting to get better and improve. And he rises up to the challenge every time we set a bar a little higher for him in terms of his communication, in terms of his concept awareness, play awareness. He's done that every single time. And we're going to do that again this week. We'll have a meeting with him today and talk to him and visit with him. And he will level up again.
Matt, I loved the piece that Kevin Fishbane did, watching film with you, and all of the gritty and granular football-y stuff about hamstring tackling toward the line of scrimmage and where the toes are pointed. And as detail-oriented as you are, and as, I don't mean to say obsessed, but as concerned as you are with winning on the margins, it's one thing to do that watching tape in a positional room. It's one thing to do it as a coordinator. How does that manifest itself as an executive? How does it manifest itself to have all to be cognizant of those same margins as a head coach?
Yeah, so to me, first of all, I enjoyed that article with Kevin. He did a wonderful job. Obviously, Sports Radio of the Year in the state of Illinois, you don't get that by accident. He does a wonderful job for those guys. And I really enjoyed that article piece and doing it with him and having that conversation. And to answer your first one, I would say it's about coaching the coaches. So I'm not able to be everywhere at one time, but I am able to have coaches that are really good at what they do and understand standards and how we want to get things done at their position. So we set those standards. We understand how we want to look in terms of the drills, in terms of the teamwork, in terms of the after action, in terms of how we evaluate those things, in terms of the fundamental skill that I was talking about in that article, and that's at every position. So that's how you do it as a head football coach.
I've been dying to ask you this question, Matt, and it has a little bit to do with what Dan asked. When you came in, you had said, look, I'm going to be an executive head coach. I'm going to let my coordinators do their thing. Obviously, things changed, and you had to take over play-calling responsibility. We had Jaquan Brisker on the show every week, and we talked to him about the impact of you being in those rooms and you calling the defense. I'd love to know, how do you think that impacted your relationship with players? Instead of being the CEO head coach, you're in the trenches and in the meeting rooms with them in a way that you were very used to. Do you think that gave you more insight into what those guys are about and how you can be an effective coach for them?
Yeah, I think it's important that, you are in there. No matter what your role is as a head football coach, you have to be connected to each player. And you have to know each player because you have to be able to motivate those guys intrinsically and also extrinsically. So I think it's important that you do that. But it's important that when I did get into that role of being the play caller, to me, it was like riding a bike. You just jump back in and do it. But I will say this year is going to be even better because I have Eric Washington and the same staff that we had before, and he's going to be able to help me facilitate that faster during the early part of the week, and then I'll be able to be involved also with the offense.
Coach, we really have appreciated just seeing more candor from you. I think it started really at the combine, in that press conference. And I want to ask you, since you started this job, how would you compare you now to where you were when you first started with the Bears?
Well, I think it's a learning process, isn't it? With everybody in every position that you have, the jobs that we've had over the years and the jobs that you guys have had, you just get better. Experience and exposure teaches you a lot of things. And I think once you're comfortable in the spot, you can just be yourself and be authentic, and that's what I'm trying to do.
How good is this team? What would be the right way to set our expectations? What are fair expectations for this Bears team this year?
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to what Coach Saban said to me about expectations. Those things are outside forces, and we really need to focus on the inside out, what we're doing on a day-to-day basis to get the job done for 1 week at a time. And I know that sounds like coach speak, but it's true. We can't focus on what expectations are on the outside. We know that we can be a pretty good football team, but we also know that there's a challenge every single week in front of us, and that challenge right now is Tennessee.
We know that we could be a pretty good football team, and that's important because he started that with we. That's not outside expectations. I wasn't asking about outside expectations. You know, how good are you? We know we could be a pretty good football team. Okay.
I hope they can be. It would be great if they were. It was really nice talking with him. It was fun. And I hope that we get the chance to do it again, because if we do, that means things are going really well.
Yeah, it's usually a good sign that they're feeling confident in that regard. It would also, who knows? This is a new regime. These are new people in charge of communications. And as we always learned, I know the Theo Epstein rule was, you're going to hear more of me when things are going badly than when things are going well.
And yeah, I don't think they're at that level. They're not on that level of the spectrum as of yet. But I do think that it's great that while people are feeling extremely confident about the choices that were made in this previous offseason with them getting Rome and Caleb and Taylor, I think that it's cool to see them be more comfortable with, let's put our people out there. Let's let them tell the gospel of the Bears, and let's see where it goes. And all of this has been a big part of the glow up for Matt Eberflus too. And he deserves a lot of credit for recognizing that it wasn't how he wanted to be seen. And he's made changes to help change that. I think it's a good thing.
I was thinking about what you said sort of under your breath, maybe near the end of the show. But you meant it. You think if they go 0-3, he's launched.
He has to win this year. Like, there are no more excuses.
I know. I've been thinking about it, though. Because how Bears would it be to let him hire another round of coaches, start this all off like this, and then bring in somebody who might have different opinions of everything? Like, it would just be the Bearsiest thing that ever Bearsed if they didn't see through this iteration.
But to go to what he was talking about, this is an expectation. I don't expect them to lose the first three games of the season. They don't expect them to lose the first three games of the season, too. So if they did, unless there's some mitigating injury, you're going to start looking at the coach and being like, hey, we've given you everything you need. They haven't. But they can make a good faith argument that they've improved the roster exponentially from the moment that Matt Eberflus walked in the door. And if the result is still bad, there isn't a lot of places for them to look now. You've made changes at offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. All of his resume is still his resume. All the things that happened before, the hires that were made before, all of that stuff is on his resume.
I'm not debating any of that. I just think that it is a bigger commitment that they made to keep him than it first appeared.
Did they extend him?
No.
Okay.
I think they'd love to. I think they would love to be able to be seen as for that move to be seen as the right move. But we're a long way between here and there.
That's what we're rooting for. That Ryan Poles has shown a lot of faith in Matt Eberflus. He could have very well fired him at the end of last year.
I expected him to.
But you don't expect him to then fire him after going 0-3?
I don't know, because that would just plunge them into classic Bearsian uncertainty and operating at cross purposes, etc.
I don't think Ryan Poles is that. Would have that reaction after three games. I think he's more patient than that. And I also think they're more committed to Eberflus than we thought last year.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Like, I think they're
that commitment has this. That commitment has to be, there has to be a get back for that commitment though, Studs.
It can't just be
we're committed to this guy. We're committed. Are you winning? No. Did you start out the same way that you started out last year? Yes.
So if they go 0-4, then that's the repeat of last year. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but I look at it this way. When you look at the back end of their schedule, If the worst thing happens and they're really bad, looking at the back end of that schedule doesn't seem like a great place to make up wins. This is the time to get wins. First 6 weeks of the season.
That's Lawrence Holmes. I'm Dan Bernstein. The Bernstein and Holmes Show, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. here on Sports Radio 670. Let's check in with the local baseball teams when we come back.
What?
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score. And 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Miguel Amaya at the plate. The pitch and a high fly ball, shallow right, drifting back the second baseman Lopez, and he makes the catch, crossing over into foul territory for out number three.
2-2. On the ground at shortstop. It's Sweeney. It's Keith, and it's the ball game. The Tigers hand the White Sox their 100th loss. At a 9-4 final, the Tigers are one short of 500 suddenly.
So are the Cubs, by the way. Jason Benetti on the call of Bally Sports Detroit. And that was Zach Zaidman closing out the Cubs game. I think it's the broom's fault.
Yeah, you left him out, though, right?
Yeah,
we went to Vegas?
I think
who let the brooms out?
Yeah, I left them, but I think they're tired. I don't know what it is. I think they've been keeping late hours.
I don't think the brooms are very tired at all.
They have
not been used a lot this season.
I don't know.
A matter of fact, the brooms haven't gotten enough reps. No. It's almost like guys out of the bullpen.
Well, they've been used a lot against the White Sox, though.
Yeah, I don't. I think the brooms have. It's nothing we're doing. I think it's outside of their regular responsibilities. They may just not be budgeting their time well, and maybe partying a little too much. I don't know. We don't know what goes on here. Once we leave, when we leave the brooms out.
Was that Jason Benetti calling the 100th White Sox loss?
It was. How about it?
I'm sure that he's happy that he's not calling it from having to watch every one of those games.
Mm-hmm. Think how that feels. Oh, boy.
Yeah. The Detroit team's not terrible.
Nah, we ain't taking that.
Okay.
That's not out to me to say.
I think you take it when you take it, I guess. I don't think there's much you can do about it. But the Cubs have to sweep series. I know you think, well, what are you talking? You do. That was a chance to pick up a game. You got to win that. They're out of time.
They're not out of time.
Well, unless they win every game. They're not mathematically eliminated, but there's just too much that has to happen and too much out of their control.
They just kind of keep swimming in this same spot that they've been in.
How long have they been?
It's about 10 and a half.
Five games out of a wild card.
Five and a half. They just keep staying there. And the problem with the wild card is that you have too many teams to climb over. And now we are back to them having to climb over five teams. They got it down to four, but that's the scary part about chasing down the final wild card spot. All the teams that you're fighting. And it's weird because I check the standings every day. And if you're looking at the standings, you go, oh, well, look at that. The Cubs are in third place in the Central. Oh. The only reason that they're in third place in the Central is because the Reds and the Pirates have kind of fallen away. Luckily for the Cubs, they get the Pirates starting tonight. You can listen to Pat and Ron on the call starting with, what, a 5:35 pregame show tonight? I think that's right.
I think it's earlier than that.
It might be a 5 o'clock
pregame show. Yeah, I thought the game time was like 5:40. So, meanwhile, it looks like the Cubs starting pitcher tonight, Jameson Taillon, 5:05 start, that Jameson Taillon is going to come in under the two wins above replacement unless he picks it up. I don't know how many starts he's got left, but he is right there at last year's total of 1.5. So he'll probably overproduce the 1.5, but will finish well short of the 2.4 wins he was worth for the Yankees in 2022. So I'm going to owe you a beer or a dollar or whatever it was.
A crisp dollar bill. The Mortimer bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, because it appears I don't necessarily have to give up yet, but pretty special.
No, I mean, he's got what, five starts maybe left?
Maybe
if he goes out there and strikes out 10 every one of them.
Baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Should mention, too, as much fun as we had at our previous Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern show, we're doing another one. And it's going to be Tuesday, September 17th. We're going to be joined on site by Cubs pitcher Justin Steele. We're going to be giving a pair of tickets away between now and the end of the show. It's all brought to you by Bosch Power Tools and Phillips Chevrolet.
So wait, we're going back to the Brick House? They're going to have that awesome pizza and those really good chicken tenders?
The best chicken tenders in Chicago for my money.
I agree.
I'm generally not a fan of chicken tenders except those. They're really good. And I had some sliders. I had some chicken tenders and life was good. They also have the really good ranch dressing.
Oh, I hadn't tried the ranch.
It reminds me, I used to exist back when I was working in minor league baseball. I loved Denny's chicken tenders and their ranch. I'm not sure where Denny's got their ranch. And it was obviously from either Cisco Foods or Gordon Foods or US, one of the giant food suppliers. But whatever they have at Brickhouse Tavern reminds me in taste and texture of those nights, and I get this sort of Proustian like sense of baseball innocence.
I don't like ranch, except for there's one exception: Wendy's. Their regular nuggets and
yes,
their ranch is
very good too. I agree. I agree with that.
Spicy nugs.
I don't find myself maybe going to Wendy's as much as I should.
That's usually the
explain it again with those nuggies.
That's usually my post game. From softball, because they're not a lot of Wendy's by me, so I'm like, hey,
and the
hit
one
Wendy's
near,
on the way
one near
home.
Me is a good one. The one near me is
yeah,
a,
the one near you is really
it
good.
Is a good one.
That's the first place that the first Wendy's I tried their breakfast, and I was like, oh, it's a top notch.
Yes, it is a. I respect a place that, and now that CPS is back.
Oh yeah, that's right.
CBS is back today, which means all those places around Lane Tech better be on top of their game. And there's a new battle that's been joined now because Jersey Mike's is open there, and Jersey Mike's wanted to get open early to work out all the kinks and members of the kinks before they got there, before the students came back. So they got that, the Subway across the street, they're ready to go.
I have a quick Wendy's back-to-school memory related to Wendy's. So when I was in high school, I was on the cross-country team, and for varsity, we would go on 10-mile runs, all right? And there was this guy on the team who would dip off on the 10-mile run because we would pass a Wendy's, and he would go in the Wendy's and sit and wait for us to come back all tired and sweaty, and then he'd come out and like he'd dump like water on his head so his hair was wet and be like, oh man, good run, guys, good run. That guy pissed me off so badly. Just sitting in Wendy's while we're busting our asses.
That's outstanding.
On a 10-mile run in August and September.
Rosie Ruiz, man. That is
jerk.
Well, kind of respect it.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Little bit of respect.
And he never got caught?
Nope.
You didn't bust him? No one turned him in?
Nope. No,
nah,
no we
Ray,
didn't have any,
Ray ain't no snitch.
No, I'm not a snitch.
No,
and none of my other guys on the varsity cross-country team were snitches either.
Okay.
But nobody liked that guy.
I can imagine. Did he at least hook you guys up occasionally?
Nope.
Or?
Nope.
Awesome.
Come on,
bad.
Hand out some spicy nugs.
That's a bad teammate.
Everybody can dip their fries in the Frosty as those wacky kids like to do.
It's a bad teammate.
Yep.
Didn't come out with some spicy chickens and hand them out? Nothing. Really, nothing.
Nothing.
It's a bad guy.
It wasn't like the guy when I used to.
I no longer respect
two it. Two-a-days soccer practice, and there was this one guy who stashed a bottle of Jack in the forest by the back 40 at Deerfield High School. And right before practice, he would glug the shots of Jack.
That sounds like a problem.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed it was.
Yeah.
He ended up having a problem.
Of course he did. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. When we come back, would you like to hear what people are saying about your quarterback? People who are in the know.
I would.
Including two former quarterbacks.
That'd be good.
Yeah, we'll do that next.
Is it going to make me mad?
It might, okay. But it's funny because two of the guys are saying the same thing. One of them is just saying it nicer. So we'll let you listen and determine it yourself next here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.